Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the WOW, or the Woody Overton Window. And when you're hearing this, Hurricane Milton will have gone through Florida, and y'all, looks like it's a really bad one. We're having to record this early, and actually Mike Agravino is in Florida, but he should be like 75 miles south of where the storm comes in. But we're recording this because we're assuming he's not going to have power. So Cindy is my co-host.
Hello, everybody.
Cindy Overton, my wife. And we're going to do the WOW. Aga was nice enough to preload stories for us in case we got to record, which we're not going to get to record together, but we're going to get through it, right?
That's for sure.
Huge thoughts and prayers for everybody in the path of that storm. Y'all, I know it's too late when you're hearing this, but we've lived it. Huh, Mama?
Yeah.
The worst of it. And I can't imagine what the storm's going to do, but our thoughts and prayers are with y'all, and we're going to be monitoring it closely. All you lifers, stay safe. We know we have a huge listener base in that part of Florida, and just hope y'all stay safe.
I have family there too. Yeah, my aunt and cousins.
And you never know what these storms are going to do. They always seem to turn at the last second. That's what I always say. And, you know, it is what it is. The aftermath is going to suck. Stay away from the down power lines. Don't go doing looky-loos. That's where most people get killed and all that. So y'all stay safe. But let's get into the WOW for Friday, October the
11th,
right? All right. And I don't even know what episode this is, but I'll let you start off, Sin.
All right. So like Woody said, Mike sent us his stories. So I'm taking Mike's stories and, you know, reading them or making them my own. So this is probably not one that I would have chosen to talk about, but we are talking about the Sarco suicide pod. And what that is a suicide capsule. And so the suicide pod use was suspended weeks after a U.S. woman who was 64 ended her life in the Tesla of euthanasia. The use of the suicide Sarco capsule, dubbed as the Tesla of euthanasia, has been suspended just weeks after an American woman ended her life in the controversial morbid machine. It was created by Dr. Philip Nitschke, the founder and director of pro-euthanasia group Exit International. It's used for the first and perhaps last time on September 24th. To take the life of the 64-year-old woman from the Midwest.
She was
immunocompromised. Yeah. So Swiss officials have said that the Sarco was not approved when it was used to take the unidentified American's life. A criminal investigation into the pod is pending, and all of the 371 active applications have been suspended.
I'm assuming they're saying 371 other dying individuals have applied to use this suicide pod.
Exactly. And Switzerland is one of the few countries that permits travelers to legally take their lives under its assisted suicide practices, which does not require a doctor, but can include outside help.
That's crazy. Remember Dr. Kevorkian and that shit show back in the day?
Yeah. And
so tell me how the Sarco works.
So once pressed, the capsule is flooded with nitrogen. So I'm assuming it's a capsule that you're in, right? And you press a button and the capsule is flooded with nitrogen, which drags the user's oxygen levels to deadly levels until they eventually enter a hypoxic state before asphyxiating.
So Alabama
is doing that for death row.
They did it for the first time, mm-hmm. and then they just did it again last week for the second death row inmate. So it's the same thing. They suck all the oxygen out of the room, mm-hmm. pump it full of nitrogen, and they can't breathe.
Right.
They die, right?
Well, apparently she immediately pressed the button when entering the capsule. She really wanted to die, is what Nitschke is saying. And he says, my estimate is that she lost consciousness within 2 minutes and that she died after 5 minutes.
And that fits with what the warden in Alabama said on the first guy. He said he lived for 4 minutes, and that's because he held his breath for 4 minutes.
Right. They describe it as seeing jerky, small twitches of the muscles in her arms, but she was probably already unconscious by then, and it looked exactly how they expected it to look. And police arrested several people connected to the American's death, including a Dutch photographer covering the assisted suicide.
Like I said, wanted to document it.
Exactly. And it's not known if Nitschke was one of those arrested. But another applicant, a 55-year-old wheelchair-bound woman from Alabama, ditched her plan after accusing the company of exploiting her for publicity and stealing her life savings.
I wonder. I guess they were advertising that she was next.
I guess so. It says that she was originally going to be the first person to use the Sarco. Okay. If I had known that the deeply heartless people who held my fate in their hands were mainly driven by their own media presence and marketing, I would never have subjected myself to this ordeal, she said. She did end up dying in July, leaving behind an accusatory letter to The Last Resort, an affiliate organization of Exit International. And then y'all shared a story, I remember, on The Daily Show a few months back about the Canadian doctor who was like mailing out suicide packages.
Yep. And I said there was going to be a whole lot more that he got charged for eventually. But go ahead.
Yeah. I guess it just is reaching the momentum that people are trying to do this. And
you know, like the Sarco thing takes it to another level. Yeah.
It's hard because look at your healthcare bills and you're well now, you know, and imagine if,
I get it.
You know, you had
$250,000 and, you know, I don't know if they'll ever legalize it in the United States. I think it's too much of a shock to people's consciousness, right?
Yeah.
People keep people here alive as long as they can. And, you know, even though Americans are sicker than they've ever been and
healthcare is more expensive than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And at what point do we have a choice? You know, if like we are living in pain, you know,
I don't know. I mean, people kill themselves every day. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
I don't know what the right or wrong answer is on that. I mean, it's not like if you kill yourself, they can come back and charge you criminally because you're already dead. But I don't, you know, I don't even know. I guess it's illegal to do it. And certainly I would assume that it's illegal for other people to assist you to do it. That's the main thing.
Well, if like in life insurance policies, if you commit suicide, you're not going to get the benefits. Your people aren't going to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's a crazy ass story. Only I could come up with.
Yeah.
God knows where he found that one.
Right.
The next story, everybody loves Garth Brooks. And we did cover this on the daily, but not to this extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jim Chapman is covering it on his new podcast and all that. And I'm sure the whole world's talking about it, but Garth Brooks.
Right.
And Garth Brooks has come out and actually named his sexual accuser. And now he's turned around and he's suing her for compensatory and punitive damages after saying she tried to extort millions from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooks, who's now 62 years old, filed the complaint on Tuesday with the district court for the Southern District of Mississippi. He named his accuser after attempting to keep their identities private with a previous court filing where he asked the judge to grant them the right to anonymity. I guess he was trying to take the high road. And then finally he was like, fuck it. Says, when Jane Roe threatened to publish lies about him, intending to blackmail plaintiff into paying her millions of dollars, Plaintiff filed this lawsuit to preserve his reputation, establish the truth, and put a stop to her scheme. And this is according to Garth Brooks' original court filing, y'all. For the sake of his family and out of respect for Roe's family as well, plaintiff titled this action John Doe versus Jane Roe. So again, Garth Brooks, pretty sure he didn't want the media coverage. And it sucks when you're that famous, you know, somebody, if it's not true, somebody's trying to get money out of you.
Yeah.
And now you got to answer it, but you're like, can we keep my name out of it, please? Because it's going to be a shit show. And it turned out to be. But because his accuser allegedly leaked his name, Brooks decided to submit a secondary filing that included both their names. Good for him. And Brooks is asking for compensatory damages, approximately caused by the defendant's intentional infliction of emotional distress, defamation, and false light invasion of privacy, including incidental and consequential damages, and punitive damages in an amount sufficient to deter similar future behavior. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
He's got everything. He's got his big new bar in Nashville, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's sells out stadiums and everything else.
He's Garth Brooks.
Yeah, it's Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Trisha Yearwood.
Biggest in the world. And, you know, somebody files this, if it's frivolous or not, they file this, and a certain amount of people are going to take her side, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, right.
So, however, Brooks said the monetary damages cannot adequately compensate for the injuries to his reputation. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that. Brooks' new filing also alleged his accuser sent him a letter on July the 17th in which she threatened to publicly file over the claims against him unless he agreed to pay her millions of dollars not to file her suit.
Yeah.
That's kind of a fucking giveaway, right?
I mean, right.
If you've been raped or whatever shit it is that she's alleging, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm filing.
Mm-hmm.
But in an alleged second letter from August 23rd, the accuser wrote that she would refrain from publicly filing her false and, I don't know why this is correct, filing her false and defamatory lawsuit against the plaintiff in exchange for a multi-million dollar payment. Brooks claimed in his submission that the allegations are not true and asked for a declaratory judgment that the defendant's allegations against him of sexual misconduct are untrue. So Brooks taking it on now. He's
yeah.
Like, fuck it. I want the judge to rule immediately.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through this shit show. He also confirmed the accuser worked for him about 15 years as an independent contractor before she relocated to Mississippi in 2020. And so, y'all, that's why he filed his lawsuit in Mississippi and not Tennessee, where he lives. But he alleged she fell into financial hardship, which is when she requested financial assistance. Okay. So the plaintiff complied out of loyalty, friendship, and desire to improve the defendant's condition, his filing reads. So basically he's saying, I gave her some money. She fell in hard times. She worked for me for 15 years. Right. But the defendant's demands for financial assistance only increase. Imagine that. With defendant ultimately asking plaintiff for salaried employment and medical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just giving me my paycheck for nothing and take care of my medical bills.
Right.
Okay. All right. So the accuser's lawyer slammed Brooks in response to this latest filing, saying, Garth Brooks just revealed his true self. Out of spite to punish, he publicly named a rape victim, they said in a statement. With no legal justification, Brooks outed her because he thinks the laws don't apply to him. On behalf of our client, we've been moving for maximum sanctions against him immediately. Now, come on, man. She sent a letter. He gave her money.
Right.
And she sends a letter saying, I want a permanent check, permanent medical, and I'm going to file your name publicly if you don't give me millions of dollars. But now he's the one that outed her.
Right.
Kind of backfired.
Yeah.
So in the accuser's October 3rd filing, she claimed Brooks raped her during a work trip to Los Angeles in 2019 and acted inappropriately on multiple occasions. Well, I get it a lot of times. Rape victims don't come forward for a while, but it's been 6 years or 5 years. The filing accused him of exposing his genitals to her, and she worked for him as a hairstylist at the time, regularly changing his clothing in front of her, expressing his sexual fantasies with her, and sending her sexually explicit text messages. Okay. She also accused him of making repeated remarks about having a threesome with his longtime wife, Trisha Yearwood. Of course, Brooks has denied the allegations, and Yearwood has not publicly commented on the case. Well, you know, I know that him and Trisha live on the same compound so they can raise their kids together, but they're not together. Everybody in the world knows they're not together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, they're not married. They live in separate houses on the same thing.
Okay.
And, I watched it on this documentary about his bar.
Okay.
And they're friends.
Yeah.
They co-parent, but they do not live together. They're not married. And she's like, his new bar, he gave her like the kitchen area to design and what food do you want.
Right,
and
all right, that right.
Stuff. So Brooks is a man, and I mean, if they have text messages, they're going to have text messages, and that's why we have courts. But nobody deserves to be raped. I'm not saying she wasn't, but I'm saying that he came out and called her out after she, I mean, it's proven, after she sent a demand letter for what she sent the demand letter for.
Well, so. I think that any man, I don't know, but if someone accused you of something, I would think that you, if it was obviously a false accusation, you would double down and say, come on, like, bring it. Bring it. I have nothing.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
Let's roll with it. But the thing is, if you got insurance companies to back you and stuff like that, I mean, being Garth Brooks, it ain't like being Woody Overton famous.
Right.
I mean, he's got $1 billion in the... I'm sure there's been a lot of payoffs over the years just to make people go away $10,000 or $15,000 because it's cheaper for them to do that than it is to hire an attorney. But I mean, he's admitting he gave her money before to try to help her out, and then she came back and demanded more, and he said no. And then she sends the rape charges.
I saw
it just doesn't look well for her. I'm not saying the woman's lying. I'm just saying from an investigator standpoint, it doesn't look well from her side.
I saw. A TikTok where someone went over the 25-page file claim, whatever, and essentially Garth was in the opinion that they were in and like having an affair, like they were together.
It's not an affair if they're two.
Not an affair, adults, but they were in a relationship. Yes, that and so they read text.
And I'm sure that's why she has. And I always say every shit get lost in text. That's why I don't like to get mad in a text and send shit back and forth because it can be interpreted the wrong way too much. But I think she's, you know, rattled the big dog's cage. And if she was raped, she's going to have to prove it. And why the big question is going to be, why didn't you say something before? Why did you take money? Why did you do this? I'm not saying she wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's not looking good.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in this world we live in, oh, well, fuck, rape is a horrible thing, period. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it. And it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for hormone harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
You'd be hard pressed to make me think that Garth Brooks has to rape anybody.
Right.
I mean, even old now, like me, I'm not like me, but he's older than me. He's probably 90 years older than me. I'm sure he still has people throw themselves at him every day.
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
So, and he, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, in Wisconsin, there was a teacher.
Shout out Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Tomah, Wisconsin, Shane, Trace McBride. Love y'all.
We love you. A teacher's been accused of making out with her 11-year-old student.
Nice.
And traded 33,000 explicit.
33,000?
33K is what this says.
33,000.
Explicit texts with him.
11-year-old.
11-year-old.
I'm assuming it's a female teacher.
No, I'm assuming too. A disgraced Wisconsin teacher accused of sexually assaulting her 11-year-old student allegedly sent him more than 33,000 racy texts. Some so explicit that the 23-year-old bowed her head in shame as they were read in open court on Monday.
Oh, Lord.
During the preliminary hearing in St. Croix County Circuit Court, attorneys sparred over whether the evidence supported the 10 felony charges against Madison Bergman, including first-degree child sex assault, child enticement, and multiple counts of sexual misconduct by a school staff member. During the hearing, school resource officer Tracy Hall told the court that Bergman and the victim exchanged the staggering number of texts in the early part of this year. So this isn't like over a long period of
1,000 texts. I mean, that's like 1,000 a day or 100 a day or something like that.
There were approximately 33,000, Hall told the court, adding that the relationship became more sexual and explicit as time went on. Prosecutor Carl Anderson began reading from the text, noting that things became X-rated on April 27th. There's a conversation about the victim being hard and if she felt that during their hug, he said. Did she acknowledge that she felt it? Yes, Hall responded. What else did she say? Anderson asked.
You're talking to clarify for people.
Yes.
This is the courtroom. She's reading it. He's reading the text that from the victim and the
Yes. And the question was then asked, what else did she say? Anderson asked, which is the prosecutor. And the response was that she would wear dresses more often because she liked how he touched her leg. Hall responded, does Ms. Bergman ever allude to being sexually aroused in the text messages? Anderson asked. And Hall responded, she talks about being wet in the classroom.
Oh, Lord.
But attorneys for the teacher insisted that she had been overcharged, arguing the text messages alone were not sufficient to support 5 charges of sexual misconduct.
Whatever.
There is never any language where she says, I want to have sex with you, argued the attorney Joseph Turbino. And then he says, I want you to do this with me. So I guess the victim says, I want you to do this with me.
Yeah, and 11-year-old can't consent to shit.
A judge disagreed and found that the text messages were admissible evidence of sexual misconduct on the part of Bergman. It's clear to me that the state has met its burden to find probable cause that the defendant has committed a felony.
So this was a probable cause hearing. Mm-hmm. That would have already arrested her. And once you get arrested, you have to have a probable cause hearing if it doesn't go to the grand jury. So this is a probable cause hearing. And it basically, it's a free shot for the defense to find out everything the prosecution has up until this point.
Mm-hmm. And it says clearly there was probable cause presented by the detective today. The case is bound to go to trial. Bergman made headlines in May when she was accused of making out with the 5th grader. Weeks before her wedding.
This is the same one?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Bergman had pleaded not guilty to all charges. The teacher's alleged abuse of the 11-year-old boy came to light when the student's mother overheard her son talking to Bergman on the phone. Jeez. The parents checked his phone and allegedly found the salacious text. Well, I got goosebumps.
Yeah, well, we've been doing these stories every week about teachers and something, I guess. More so, I know more so, probably 85% of them are female teachers with kids.
Yeah.
And she's doing it, making out with him, an 11-year-old,
I know,
the week before your wedding.
And we can't say, like, that there's mostly female teachers and maybe that's why it's skewed to where, you know what I mean? Like, what female?
That one. That one, and she's a stain on her profession. The listeners may not know that you used to be a teacher. Wouldn't it be about the same
5th and 6th grade.
11-year-olds?
Yes.
Wow.
They were my babies.
Yeah, but don't say that nowadays because somebody might take it the wrong fucking way.
Oh, my gosh.
You weren't making out with them or wearing dresses or whatever so they could fill you up and... Do you get hard when I hug you?
Oh,
my God. Well, before I tell you this next story, I'm going to tell you a little funny story to preface it with.
Yes.
So, I come outside. We have a place on like 9 acres, kind of in the country, but kind of not. And the trash cans are kept on the outside of an outer building. And I came out at nighttime to empty some stuff into the trash can. I get to the first one, it's dark out there and I can't see. I get to the first one, I can't get the lid open. So I go to the second one and I open the lid and I'm literally shaking the shit in the garbage can for like 30 seconds and it's almost pitch black.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear this noise come out of the garbage can and it jumps up in my face and it was a fucking raccoon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the raccoon ran one way and I ran screaming like a little bitch. I mean, like literally, like they gave me a heart attack. But the lid was closed.
Yeah.
Like, how does this motherfucker get in here? Yeah. And I've seen them out here on the garbage cans and stuff, but they smart enough to get in. I guess they stay in there and I know the trash goes to the road once a week.
Yeah.
So they stay in there and eat all they want and then they get back out somehow.
They get in. You can see the little claw marks on the side of it. And they get in and they grab what they want. They pull it out, put it on top of the can next to it. And then they start eating it and they leave behind their little leftovers. And it's a whole deal.
I got to kill them.
No, they need to go.
Yeah. They just for almost giving me a heart attack. If I'd had a pistol, I'd have been shooting. That's how it was.
That's what Jason says. Yes.
And then, so y'all, this next story, there's a woman in Poolsbow, Washington, and she had started feeding the area raccoons way back in the 1980s. Now, over time, word spread and more raccoons were drawn to the free meals. Let me tell you about this. We have deer feeders, and I've seen deer feeders that you can program to go off however many times a day. And I've seen the raccoons will come out before the deer come mm-hmm. out and they will climb the poles on the thing. And if you don't have a raccoon guard on it, they will literally spin the thing. So the corn is kind of gravity fed down to the spinner and the spinner goes off with a battery and it throws it.
Right.
I've seen the raccoons climb the fucking feeder and spin it to get it loose corn to go on the ground. And they go down there and eat mm-hmm. it. I've also seen a raccoon out there by itself eating mm-hmm. and a deer comes out and a raccoon ran off mm-hmm. and then the raccoon comes back with like five other raccoons and ran the deer off. It's like, fuck you, this is my crew. My corn, motherfucker. So this lady's feeding them. Yeah, I guarantee the word got out and more raccoons, they want that easy meal. So she did this for 40 years.
Yeah.
And then what? Guess what happened?
Yeah.
She had to call 911 and ask for help on October the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And she told the cops that dozens of the raccoons had showed up at her house demanding food, right? Now, although she'd been feeding them for 40 fucking years, the woman told the cops the raccoons suddenly became more demanding a few weeks ago. And the woman supposedly sought help was quoted, $500 per raccoon in order to trap and relocate them.
Oh my.
Well, I can tell you how what that works. You cost you about 5 cents a 22 bullet and you pop them in the head and relocate them to the garbage can.
Right.
But with an estimated 100 raccoons involved, it would have cost her more than $50,000 to get rid of the ones she'd been feeding. How yeah, much but fucking food she fed them for 40 fucking years?
Yeah, probably $50,000 worth of food right. for 40 years.
So the cops told her to call the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we don't have any word yet, y'all, if Fish and Wildlife have removed any of the hungry rascals. I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that. That's not their job. It's freaking crazy. The raccoons are a real deal, and they're smart, and they're not they even that smart. Tasty.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not to say I've ever had a raccoon. You could not get me to eat them.
They're not bad, but certainly not going to hunt them to eat them.
Okay. Well, it reminded me of a story of my stepfather having an alligator farm. Do you remember this story? It's from when we were in high school. He had an alligator farm on the road, and I'm horrible with highway names, on the way to Zachary Back Roads. And there was a trailer on the farm where the person lived that took care of the alligators, and they would feed them Nutri-Rat. They had been just dropping off the Nutri-Rat and being fed. Well, they didn't hear. It was way before cell phones. They didn't hear from this guy for like a week. So finally, someone decides to go work, like go look for him. And they get there and alligators have surrounded the trailer and were like all over the trailer, like he couldn't get out. Yes, looking for their food.
And he didn't have a phone to
call. He didn't have a phone to get out.
Pretty sure your father-in-law lied to me on that one.
Yeah.
That's
pretty good story there.
Yeah, it was quite funny.
Take us to Mexico.
Yeah, well.
Oh, Mexico.
Mexico's mayor's decapitated head was found on his car 6 days after taking office. This seems to be what they do often. Well, leave it on the court steps and.
They hang people. They do all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
So he wins mayor, and then somebody found his chopped off head on his car 6 days after office.
Yes. And so Alejandro Arcos became the 43-year-old mayor of the city of
Chilpancingo.
Okay. He had promised during his campaign that he had the commitment and the courage to take on the region's drug gangs. I guess they showed him. Mm-hmm. 6 days after Arcos officially took office, his decapitated head was found on top of his car. He was the second official to be murdered in Guerrero's capital in less than a week. The body of Alejandro Arcos, the 43-year-old mayor, was found inside his pickup truck Sunday night while his head was propped on top of the vehicle.
Oh, that makes a statement quite like that.
His death was confirmed by the state prosecutor's office. The state attorney general's office said it was investigating.
I'm sure they are.
His loss mourns the entire Guerrero society and fills us with indignation, Governor Evelyn Sagado said in a statement. So the city of roughly 280,000 people is still reeling from the murder of a new government secretary who was shot and killed last week, which was Francisco Tapia. Mm-hmm. They were young and honest officials who sought progress for their community, Senator Marrero wrote on X, I guess, Twitter.
Alejandro Moreno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Guerrero has become one of the deadliest states for local-level politicians and journalists. At least six candidates for public offices were killed in Guerrero leading up to Mexico's June elections.
Six candidates killed? I'm pretty sure those offices are not paying that fucking much money. It's not like they're making millions of dollars. So they kill six leading up to elections, and then they kill him 6 days after.
Mm-hmm. So Chilpancingo, you say it for me because I can't.
Chilpancingo
has grappled with violent crime for years, primarily spurred by the frequent conflicts between two rival gangs, the Ardillos and the Chlacos.
Yeah.
The city's previous mayor, Norma
Otilla.
Yeah.
Hernandez
was videotaped allegedly holding a meeting with the leaders of the gangs at a restaurant.
Well, she must have not been like the competition.
She was subsequently expelled from her party, which gave Arcos the opening to run. In July 2023, federal officials said a demonstration in
Chilpancingo
that month was organized by the Ardillos gang to force two of its leaders who had been arrested for drugs and weapons possession to be released.
Right, so they're actively bargaining with the politicians to get their gang members released.
And so the demonstration lasted for 2 days as people blocked all traffic on the highway between Mexico City and Acapulco.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a problem. For the tourist trade and for trucking and everything else.
Right. Battling security forces and even stealing a police armored truck, which they used to break down the gates of the state legislature building.
Nice. I mean, what the fuck? I guess, you know, this goes back to all the discord, if you will, but they're fighting in the streets and you see the running gun battle videos and they have the SWAT teams, but these gangs are armed. These cartels are armed just as well, if not better, than the police and the army.
Absolutely. They also abducted 10 members of the state police and National Guard on top of three state and federal officials.
So when you do that shit in America, the whole weight of the government is coming down on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that the one DEA agent that got killed south of the border on a deal, it turned into be a big fucking deal, right?
Right.
And Americans will only put up with so much. Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hey, y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
So state authorities eventually won the release of the hostages in exchange for promises to invest in public works projects.
Right, so they release the hostages in exchange for promise for the gangs to give money for public works projects.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of world they're living in. We can't. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. Leave it alone. We can't get our public projects done. And I guess we're not dealing with the wrong. We're dealing with the politicians and not the gang leaders, I guess. So anyway, y'all, I don't know.
So should you or your family member decide to run for office and get yourself decapitated by a gang of drug lords, have no fear. We have friends that can help.
Yeah, that's right, Sin. I'd even bet that Roy, Kristen, and Kristen have had a case of two of death by decapitation over the years. Their all-star team in that back room will put that head back on tighter than it was to begin with and have you sitting pretty by your viewing day.
So magic happens underneath that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, where Louisiana Funeral Services and LA Pet Crematory are. Their outstanding team can handle death by decapitation or any other cause of death. Tell them Woody sent you.
Yeah, when it's time, you know where to go. It's lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. And
Rest easy
is the tagline, y'all. Look, they really are great people. And I know I get messages from y'all all the time. The pet crematory side, people, you know, tell me all the time, but they treated us with such respect.
Yes.
And I mean, it's, nobody likes to lose a fur baby or a human in their family, but they will absolutely take care of you all the way through. And we love y'all. Thank you, Roy and Kristen and Kristen.
Yes, I get messages often that ask, do y'all really like them? Yeah, like, should we really go to them?
And look, I'm going to take you. I got to get with Roy anyway on the case from Atlanta. Maybe Roy and Kristen and Kristen, I can bring Cindy over and we can have a meeting and y'all can show her what you showed Jim and Ago. I don't know how she's going to handle that. But So we're skipping on. I'm about to butcher some names, which is common for me. So a Sabrina, maybe I won't do so bad. Caldar was arrested following the deaths of a woman and two men in Toronto, Niagara, and Hamilton over a 3-day period in Canada, y'all. Mm-hmm. So the first incident occurred in Toronto on October 1st, when the cops responded to a call for service and found a woman in her 60s, deceased, inside a residence with visible trauma to her body. Okay, well, I always say these things come in threes and the story proves true.
Yeah.
Well, the following day, emergency service personnel responded to a disturbance report in Niagara Falls. Now, when the law enforcement arrived, they found a man suffering from critical injuries. And they said, despite medical intervention efforts by Niagara Emergency Medical Services and the Niagara Falls Fire Service, 47-year-old Lance Cunningham was pronounced deceased at the scene. Now, the third incident occurred in Hamilton on October the 3rd, when a man was found unresponsive in a parking lot with significant injuries consistent with a stabbing, right? And this victim has been identified as a 77-year-old Mario Bilch. And they were transported to the hospital, but he later died from his injuries. Now, you might ask yourself, what's going on? Are they related? Well, investigators were able to link the Hamilton homicide to the recent murder in Niagara Falls, determining that the suspect matched the description in both cases. And an additional link was made to the act of homicide investigation from the October one we told y'all about in Toronto's. Now, authorities believe Cunningham and Bilch, who is a retired teacher, were randomly targeted, while the Toronto victim was known to the suspect. And Caldahar was charged with first-degree murder in the Hamilton incident and second-degree murder in the Toronto and Niagara investigations. And during a news conference on October 4th, Niagara Regional Police Chief Bill Forty confirmed that Caldahar was arrested at a hotel in Burlington and said she had previous interactions with the police. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. He added that detectives were also trying to identify a woman who was seen on CCTV buying clothing that Caldahar had in her possession when she was arrested. Evidently it wasn't her, y'all. Maybe she had an accomplice. But in an update shared on October 5th, police confirmed that the unknown female had been identified. I think, by definition, she is a serial killer, Forty told reporters at the news conference when asked if the label was fitting. Two or more offenses, so by the definition, I think that's a fair comment. And we all know, I know all you lifers know that a serial killer is a person who kills two or more people at separate times and unrelated motives. They just kill them, motherfuckers.
So what I was thinking of as you were reading that story, I think we titled it Overkill. The lady at Canal Bank.
Yeah, but she wasn't a serial killer.
No, but she was trying to be. Yeah,
she would have been. Yeah. She could have been. I think that somebody told me she's out of prison. I'm not sure, though. Yeah, she's had to do like 37 times or something ridiculous like that. And then beat the other dude.
Yes.
He thought he, And didn't, y'all go listen to it, Overkill and the Original Real Life Real Crime.
Yes.
The podcast.
She beat the other dude, but then didn't she go, someone pick her up and take her to her?
She's a very attractive female. She beat, I don't want to tell the whole story.
I know, I'm just saying that there was three.
It was no, there was the third one would have been a victim.
Yeah.
And y'all go listen to it on the Original Real Life Real Crime. And let's talk about that for a minute. There'll be some changes coming up November 1. And we're a couple of weeks away. We'll tell you about it when we get closer, but we're going to change the date of the Original Real Life Real Crime drop back to Tuesdays. Is that correct? Or Mondays?
Tuesdays.
I don't think that works.
Okay.
Because of the other three. So I think it's going to be on Mondays, y'all, instead of Saturdays. When we put everything else on the feed, we've moved it to Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And so get lost in the shuffle. But you're going to get the old school Woody stories again, which you've been asked for. We've been waiting to do them. Obvious reasons, you'll know after November 1st. So that's going back to Mondays. And then the rest of the shows, like the hashtag Justice 4 series I'm starting, that one's definitely dropping on Friday, November the 1st.
Correct.
And then the rest of the stuff, we'll tell you about it when it gets here.
Yeah, because I'm excited about some of it.
Yeah,
well, I'm excited about all of it, honestly.
Bringing it back home to the Overton crew is a good thing.
Yes.
And I think all the lifers will appreciate it. And so y'all can go download the Real Life Real Crime Community app for free in the App Store. What is it, like 25,000, 30,000?
There's 33,000 people in there right now.
33,000 people in there now. And listen, I go there, and Cindy can testify to this. Every morning, get up, have my coffee. If I have to drive in, I drive into the studio one day a week to record with Jim, but we're recording in our home studio now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll sit there every morning. Every time I wake up, I go to the Real Life Real Crime Community app first, and I read what's in there first, and I'll post a comment in there first. And that's before I go to 8 or 9 other different social media.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we started the app was to get everybody in one place where it's not censored by anybody but Woody Overton and Cindy Overton.
That's right.
And whereas my Facebook, like one private group has 43,000 members in, plus members in it, Real Life Friends, fans, and crew.
The crew page.
The crew page. And then I have all my other ones, and I don't get to them all every day. And then I have messages, and then people sending me cold cases. And I've said it time and time again.
Right.
If you're listening, I'm going to say it again. If you have a cold case that you want on hashtag justice for, you got to do the work. You got to have the information for me and send it to me at woody@reallifeRealCrime.com, and I will read it. And if I can't do anything for you, I'll at least tell you what I think. But if you just send me a one liner like my Uncle Joe, I want you to work my Uncle Joe's murder. I don't know who your Uncle Joe is. I can't help you.
Well, and I receive,
don't have the time.
Yeah. I receive messages like TikToks or, like a news thing, and like Woody really needs to work this. Please, please, please work this.
And I don't even watch the news at all. And that's the truth.
And I just beg them to please go get as much information, contact the family, and have the family contact, give us all of the information and spill it out.
This is not like a once a month occurrence. This is an
every day, multiple
times two or three a day. And mm-hmm. I get it. Everybody out there is hurting that takes the time to send these messages, et cetera. But if you want it done, if you want to have a shot at having it done through me in real life, real crime, especially with hashtag justice for man, this, wow. It's going to be something really special. Been working on this one case, and I had to go do boots on the ground in Atlanta and send shaking her head because she's seen the humongous amount of files, and we have all the videos and audios, and it's a lot. But starting that one on November 1, and when it gets a little closer, I'm going to tell you the name just because I don't want the authorities over there to know that we're coming for.
Yeah.
But we're coming. But anyway, send it to Woody at realliferealcrime.com, the email.
Yes.
The TikTok. We've been doing a lot of funny TikToks.
Yeah. You
know, everything from bowling peanuts to
just silliness.
Random on that Bluetooth speaker and using different spices and stuff like that. So y'all go check that out. And that's Real Life Real Crime. It's not under Woody Overton.
No, it's Real Life Real Crime. And then in the app, we have several lifers in there that are devoted. And one is traveling Europe right now. She went to see Kimmy. The lot. Yeah, Kimmy has a backpack that she takes traveling the world.
Yeah, she's taking pictures like by the Loch Ness Monster and mm-hmm. the oldest pub and wherever. And we have
Tommy Thompson Cox. I just mailed a huge package to.
Yeah, he's from there.
Yes, he lives there.
And anyway, you got Joshua Ebarb, you got Leah Marie, you got all the people that are there. Because there's forums in there, there's like group chats, there's updates on the stories, all the episodes.
It's our version of Facebook. Like you go in and you post your life and you share. We're a community.
It's way more than
absolutely
that.
Way more than
Stop,
that.
Stop, listen to me. I'm just want to get to the point about all the episodes are in there.
Okay.
You can't get that on Facebook.
No, you're right.
And so if you want to listen and not have the bullshit of having to go through whatever, you can go listen in the app and then you'll get alerted when a new drop comes. Mm-hmm. There's also a subscriber service in there. It's like Patreon. A lot of people don't like Patreon, but we have a subscriber service in the app. We call them convicts affectionately. And there's different levels in which you get bonus episodes, commercial free, early releases and all that different stuff. So just go check it out. And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all, and hearts go out to the people in the hurricanes.
Yes. Man.
It's horrible. You just don't have any idea unless you're living through it.
Right.
And it's not usually the 12 hours or 20 hours or whatever when the blow that's so bad, although it was bad from blowing the roof off our house and shit like that. But it's the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
The heat. And thank God it's going to be cooler for them, but not having power. I was 19 days after I had it without power.
Yeah.
And losing everything you own. Sucks.
Right. But
losing your life, you won't care about losing everything you're in. So y'all stay safe, and we love you, and we appreciate you. And thank you, Cindy, for filling in for Ago. And we will be back Monday's recording. Ago and I will record this weekend if he doesn't get blown away by Milton. And we will be continuing the Nittany Lion series.
Yes.
And that's it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all and all that good podcaster shit.
Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order. Order in this courtroom. Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.